Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 228. This is actually probably the most relaxing weekend we've had in 2023 so far. No wedding or house things we had to do, but we did start adding things to the registry, so that was pretty fun. Yes.
Adding all sorts of stuff.
Things we need for our house, mostly.
Yes, don't worry. We're not going crazy. Yeah.
Really exciting stuff. Lawnmower, just random stuff. We don't have the measurements for everything in our house yet, so it's kind of hard to, plan like certain things, but got some things on there. Also went on a few walks, which was good. It was pretty nice out. I mean, nicer than it's been the last few days because it's been really cold and kind of snowy. Not that we've gotten that much snow, like actually sticking here, but other places have around here.
Yes. Yeah. The last couple of days have been in like the 30s and, I got snowed on one day. Well, it's been a lot easier on the weekend and weekdays for like the wedding and, all the document signing for the house.
Mm-hmm.
My work has been just exploding recently. So I've been like getting home at like
You six, just got home and it's 7 o'clock right now.
Yeah. So it's just one of those times where, you have a project approaching and you just have to, push the project across the finish line.
Yep.
So that's what I've been up to this past week, mostly work. And thank goodness that I didn't also have to be scurrying around signing documents this week, because that would have been rough. Let's put it that way.
They did get the lumber delivered at our house, though. So, that's pretty exciting. Saw all the big piles of wood, and it'll be fun to see the progress they make. Hopefully we can go there at least every month or so, if not more, and see the progress, but it's actually happening now.
Yes. I agree. It's such a unique thing to be able to see your house be built from the ground up, and we'll definitely have to, every month or so, take a peek and see the progress. We do have one of the sellers basically sending us pictures every now and then, but it's nice to see it in person as well.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So our first topic this week is kind of an insane price for an iPhone. Someone, you actually brought this up to me the other day, Brian. Mm-hmm. This person left their, version 1 2007 iPhone in a box for over a decade, since 2007. So 16-ish years, and it just sold for $63,000. Now, I just don't understand why. I mean, it's not going to be usable, and not that they would take it out of the box or use it for any reason, but like $63,000, that's so expensive.
Yeah.
For a phone that doesn't even barely work.
Yeah, I agree. So a little bit of this backstory was, this girl, her friends basically got her a brand new iPhone in 2007, and it was brand new back then. And she just didn't want to use it because she's like, oh, this is timeless. Needless to she know that there's a new iPhone every year.
Every year, yeah.
at that time. But she also reportedly just did not want to switch over to a smartphone. She had a new phone, but it wasn't a smartphone. It was probably, like a flip phone, maybe, because that was kind of what it was those days, but it wasn't a smartphone. She was just happy with her current phone, and she didn't want to switch over to the fancy iPhone. So she decided to just, put it aside. And then she realized, maybe later on this could become a collector's item. And she initially got it appraised, and the appraisers said $5,000, which is pretty good at first,
$5,000. The phone was $599 for an 8 gigabyte model then, which is also, just think about it, 8 gigabytes on an iPhone. That's so small, such a small amount of storage. But $600, they appraised it for $5,000, but then they started bidding at $2,500, and it went up 27 rounds, and there was 10 bidders for the iPhone. And it went to some unnamed individual. There's other iPhones that have been factory sealed, first edition, that have also gone for quite a bit of money recently, including $35,414 in August and $39,339 in October. But this, almost doubled that amount.
Yes, but So the people that bought this, it wasn't one person. It was an auction house, actually, which makes a little bit more sense that they have more money to be thrown around than just an individual spending, what,
What are they gonna
63?
do it with it?
Well, you know, it's an auction house. I'm sorry, not an auction house. I'm in a museum. Like it's like an antiques museum. So that was basically, that's their whole shtick is, they wanted to have a, you know, a historical item as part of their museum, so that they have it nicely displayed in its unopened form with, you know, like the wrapping still around it, the box. And yeah, it's kind of neat.
I mean, it is a very historically significant product because it was, the first of its time. It's like the first smartphone that could do all this stuff. And so, I mean, I guess, 16 years after this first iPhone came out, it's worth $63,000. So I guess if people care in the future about the first iPhone ever, then it could be worth a lot more than that in the future. Probably, unless people just really don't care anymore. They're like, eh, what's a smartphone? We have chips in our brain now.
I mean, I feel like it'll some of these things will always be like collector's items, especially the longer it goes, you know, it becomes more rare. So it will, maybe the next one will go for over $100,000. If only.
But you just think about it. You're buying a thing that's wrapped up, that's never used, that's not even usable. That you're not going to see the actual product because it's in a box.
Mary, do you want to know something?
What?
So I have my current iPhone, I think, which is the 11.
Yeah, me too.
But one of my older iPhones, I didn't exchange it because it was like $20. So I still have an older iPhone as well that I just don't use. And it's like stored in a box somewhere. So maybe down the line, you know, I'll sell this older iPhone and we'll be
Well,
rolling in some money.
I think I have my very first cell phone ever that I got in 7th grade, like flip phone. Just wanted to keep it to see what it looked like. But I don't think I have my first. I don't like. I think I've exchanged phones since then every single time, I think.
And this isn't the original iPhone,
And
unfortunately. It's just
it's
like
used
the
too. Yours is used,
It's
so.
used. It's not the same thing as an unopened original iPhone,
You're like, anyone
obviously.
want an iPhone 4 that's been used? I'll sell it for $5,000.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'll do that. But no. Yes.
Okay, and then our next topic is subscription services. Now, there's a big trend in America. Like, the average American juggles 6.7 subscriptions in 2022. That's up from 4.2 subscriptions in 2019, which is, it's just a lot of subscriptions, and people oftentimes forget what subscriptions they're even subscribed to and just have the money flown out of their bank account. So I didn't know about this trend, but a lot of large chain restaurants and also more like local restaurants are experimenting with subscription services as a way to make sure they have steady revenue and customer visits. Some examples. Some are offering unlimited drinks or free delivery for a monthly fee. Others will bring out your favorite appetizer every time you visit. I think it's interesting, but I don't know if I like, there's certain restaurants that you go to every month, but I wouldn't want to be like, oh shoot, I have to go to this restaurant because I already paid to go there.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a couple restaurants where I'd be like, this is good enough that I can go once a month.
Yeah, I just
Like, you'll
don't.
have
We
enough
don't plan
variety.
ahead. I don't plan ahead. I'm like, oh, I have to make sure I go to this restaurant once a month or whatever to get my money's worth. So here's a few examples. There's a bar in San Francisco where people can pay either $89 a month for $100 worth of dining credits or $175 a month for $200 in dining credits. And then every time they go, they get can give a free drink to anyone in the bar and they get their favorite appetizer. They started the club in March 2021 to encourage people to return as the pandemic eased. I don't know. Seems interesting to me.
Yeah, I read one that there was like a PF Chang's that you could basically subscribe to their like to go like free delivery orders.
Yeah, but how
So
often are people going to PF Chang's? I mean,
I don't
that's
know,
very
Mary. I
specific.
don't know.
But there are some subscription programs that have not had success. In 2021, there's this, I don't know where it's located, on the border, Mexican Grill introduced its Queso Club, which offered free cheese dip for a year for $1. And after a year, the program stopped taking new subscribers because they sold more than 150,000 Queso Club memberships, and members visited seven times more than the average guest. It's based in Dallas, but they weren't making enough to cover the cost of the dip. So you pay $1, you get unlimited queso for a whole year. I guess people come seven times as more often when you're part of the Queso Club. And I mean, obviously,
that's kind of gross. Like, how much queso per like actual food are they like using?
I know. I'm like, also, like, I normally have like salsa and chips when you go to a Mexican restaurant, typically, but I guess they have queso at this one. That's first of all, a ton of queso, a lot of lost money, because, you know, I would probably suspect that the queso probably costs $5-6, if not more, every time you go. And, you know, they were just trying to get more people to come in and spend more money, but they ended up losing money because those 150,000 people were coming in seven times more than the average customer.
Yeah. Got to get your money's worth, I guess. Your $1 a month money's worth,
I guess. And then Taco Bell has also tinkered with a subscription service. They have a $10 Taco Lovers Pass, which lets subscribers get a taco every day for a month. They first did this in January 2022, so about a year ago, and then they did it again in October, and it generated buzz, but they were also trying to think of more ways to make it more valuable. They said that they, you know, they just want to try out different ways to get people to come in, because I guess it wasn't the most successful. They want to promise faster service or unlock unique menu items if you're part of the Taco Lovers Pass. I mean, I don't like Taco Bell, but I guess, and it's also just a very probably bad habit. You're like, oh, I already paid the $10 for the month. I have to go get my taco every day.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of tacos.
That's a ton of tacos. And then lastly, Panera Bread, or I guess it's called just Panera now, members, you can pay $11.99 per month or $119.99 for a year of unlimited hot and cold drinks. So like soda or coffee, tea. They found that one third of the time members also bought food. Obviously, you know, you offer a small little thing trying to get someone in the door and then hope that they go, you know, go buy other stuff, but only one third of the time are they buying food. Other times they're just coming in and getting that coffee and leaving for free. But
for $11 a month, you could have unlimited hot drinks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, coffee's expensive.
So their chief brand and concept officer said that they won't share like exact numbers, but he said that members now make up 25% of the chain's transactions. So that's pretty successful, as long as they're not losing money.
That's pretty good.
But you think about how much coffee and soda and anything's upcharged to anywhere you go. You know, you're filling up a small cup of coffee and it costs you $3-4 possibly, or even just a dollar, costs cents to make that. Same with soda, tea, all of that. So
I guess that's true. I'm assuming they're not making too much profit on their, you know, $5 a cup of coffee.
Well, they probably are, though. But, you know, you say they're paying $12 a month, and or $10 a month if you do the annual subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go in, yeah, I mean, they probably are doing fine. Obviously, it's working for them because they're continuing to do it.
Yeah. I feel like that'd be valuable for the customer too, because, hey, it's $12 a month for unlimited coffee.
Yeah, especially if you live close by a Panera Bread, that would be obviously the most ideal. Mm-hmm. But would you ever do like participate in a restaurant service like this? I don't know if I would.
Probably not a sit down restaurant. Like, I kind of like the Panera Bread one just because you can like grab something and go, like, yeah, especially with the drink. But like, just sit down, like, then you kind of have to go to the restaurant to feel good about yourself. So yeah, maybe
I mean,
not.
I feel like I would be like, oh shoot, I ran out of time. February is a short month, for example. I paid the $89 for $100 worth of dining credits and I forgot to use it, or I didn't use all of it, and it's just a waste. But I do see why it's valuable to restaurants, because it does get people in the door, obviously more often. If those people in the Queso Club are coming 7 times more often as normal, that's crazy. But it's working, and they're getting a steady stream of revenue if they're not losing money. That chain did not think through
the cost. How much people love their cheese.
Yeah. They charge $1. Or was it $1 or $10? They charge such a small amount of money.
Well, either way,
it was $1.
Now that they've got like that dynamic down, they can always change the monthly plan. So getting people hooked is good.
But people don't like when there's a price hike. I mean, Netflix has a price hike. Amazon Prime has a price hike. People are like up in arms about it. So it's not the best, especially if it's so soon after you introduce a subscription plan. You're like, oh, in 2022, you got unlimited queso for $1, but now we're going to charge you $30. Like, people are not going to like that. Or even,
how's it going, like that? Maybe $2.
Even $10. I'm just saying, people don't like when it increases, and then you're going to lose people and probably not see as much success.
Right. I agree.
Shopping online can be a real hassle. You have to jump from tab to tab, comparing prices and trying coupon codes to make sure you're getting the best deal. Let me introduce you to Honey, the world's most popular money-saving app and browser extension. I use Honey all the time. Whenever I'm about to check out online, I click the button and it finds me the best coupon code available and instantly applies them to my cart. Honey is totally free. In fact, the only thing it can do is save you money. Get the Honey browser extension by going to sassstorysarcasm.com/honey and start saving some money today. For our last topic, we're going to talk about some unique and unusual wedding traditions from across the world. I just found this to be very interesting. I didn't know about, I don't think any of these, actually. So the first one is that in Germany, the bride and the groom use chainsaws. So German newlyweds indulge in a tradition called Baumstammsägen, obviously I said that wrong, where the couple is expected to saw a log into two pieces as it's tasked to be carried out by two people. It symbolizes the couple's strength as they face challenges in their marriage. They carry a log out with them. Interesting.
Okay, very interesting. I wonder if this is like a two-handed chainsaw where it takes two people, like Probably. One of those big saws. That Probably. Would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. In Romania, the bride is kidnapped. So that's interesting. The bride disappears before the wedding, but that doesn't mean she just has cold feet. On the contrary, it's tradition for the bride to be kidnapped by friends and family before the wedding. And just like role play, to get the bride back, the groom has to pay her ransom.
What?
And it could be through romantic gestures. Sorry, gestures, or filling her glass with champagne. So
that's,
I think,
not bad ransom. You just fill her glass with champagne.
Like, but why is he paying the bride the ransom? Like,
I don't know.
Shouldn't he be paying like the
people
friends
who
and family?
Kidnapped her? Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, that's pretty bizarre.
In Italy, nuts are given to newlyweds. Many of us think of confetti as colorful bits of paper, but in Italy, confetti actually refers to sugared almonds. Wedding guests receive these as favors at the reception, and they're used to be thrown at the bride and groom. Interesting. I've never heard of that.
Yes. And get ready for the next one, Mary. So in Kenya, if you go to a wedding in Kenya, don't be shocked if you see the father of the bride spitting on her dress for good luck. The Maasai people in Kenya spit on someone's dress. It's shown as a sign of respect. So hoping to not jinx the marriage, spit is actually a good sign.
And then for the next one, in India, the groom gets his shoes stolen. In a traditional Hindu wedding, it's custom for the groom to remove his shoes before sitting. And it is during the time that the tradition of Jutta Chupai takes place. It's a ritual where the bridesmaids and cousins often play a trick by stealing the shoes and hiding them. And in order to get his shoes back, the groom must bribe the woman with cash to return them before the ceremony ends.
What? Man, what the heck? This is the second time where the groom has to pay up just to get the wedding moving along.
Just to
along.
Get things back. Just to get his bride back and this time to get his shoes back.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You'll like this one, Mary. In China...
Why would I like this one?
Well, you know. The bride practices crying before their wedding. So while shedding a few tears at a wedding ceremony is common everywhere, in some parts of China, the bride is required to practice crying a month before the ceremony. Tujia brides are expected to cry for one hour a day. Each day. And then 10 days into the ritual, she's joined by her mother. And then 10 days after, the bride's grandmother joins too. So it's just a big crying fest.
Interesting.
Yes, very, very interesting.
In Japan, families drink in sync. So drinking wine at a wedding isn't too crazy. But in Japan, the historic tradition of san-san kudo requires the family to drink in sync. First, the bride and groom take 3 sips each from three flat sake cups, after which their parents do the same, bonding the families together.
Okay. Okay. Next up, we have Korea. The bride is given a goose. So most newlyweds are gifted accessories for their new home or money to begin their new life together. However, in Korea, brides and grooms, oh good, the grooms get in on this, exchange wooden geese and ducks on their wedding.
Oh, it's wooden. They're not real.
Yeah, they're not real.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, as signs of their commitment. Historically, the grooms were also given their new mother-in-law's wild geese or ducks. So this would be historically real, but I guess most people just don't have real geese and ducks lying around to give away.
That is not on the wedding registry.
Yes, no geese or duck. The monogamous animals represent the groom's pure intention and loyalty to his bride. Oh, I didn't know geese were monogamous. Interesting.
In South Korea, the groom's feet are beaten. Why is that with the shoes and the feet?
Oh my gosh, the grooms get such a bad deal. They're getting stolen from and now ransomed away their bride and now they're getting beaten.
Yeah, in parts of South Korea, grooms can't leave with their new wives until they've had their feet beaten. After the ceremony, groomsmen or family members remove the groom's shoes and bind his ankles with rope before taking turns to beat his feet with a stick or, in some cases, a dried fish. Thankfully, the ritual doesn't last long and is seen as a fun part of the day that's meant to test the groom's strength and character.
Oh, my gosh. I could take it. I'd be like, you know what? I'm very calm. up next, we have Malaysia. So the bride and groom are banned from the bathroom.
What?
So members of the Malaysia and Indonesia Haidong people observe a tradition that states the bride and the groom must not leave their home or use the bathroom for 3 whole days.
Why?
After their wedding ceremony. They are kept under watchful guard and allowed only small amounts of food and drinks. Not observing the ritual is said to tarnish the bride and groom with bad luck, often resulting in infidelity and the breakup of their marriage or death of their children. Oh my goodness. So,
but why would you not be able to go to the bathroom? Like, that's an essential need. And also, like, eating.
There's a lot of weird superstitions out there, Mary. But
yeah,
obviously, I will be going to the bathroom within 3 days of my wedding, probably on the same day.
Yeah. In Venezuela, the newlyweds secretly leave the party. It's tradition for the newly married couple to sneak off from the wedding reception without saying goodbye to any of their guests. This tradition brings good luck.
No, that's not a bad idea. up next, we have Peru. Single ladies seek love in the cake. Interesting. All single ladies, you'll love this wedding tradition in Peru. A traditional Peruvian wedding cake has ribbons hanging out around each of the sides. Each ribbon is attached to a charm inside the cake. However, one special ribbon is attached to a replica wedding ring. If you're served the wedding ring filled slice of cake, the Peruvians believe you're next in line to get married. So I guess it's kind of
like the bouquet toss.
It's a gift for the bridesmaids, I guess.
Now in Cuba, the bride charges you to dance with her. So oftentimes, you know, there's lots of dancing at weddings, but in Cuba, every time a man who dances with the bride the man is required to pin money onto her dress. This is done with the vision to help the couple pay for the wedding and honeymoon. How much money are they pinning on her dress?
I don't know. I guess it depends.
It's going to pay for a wedding and a honeymoon.
Yeah, probably a couple.
Just put a check on the dress. Just pin a check.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take that. I'd collect that. But I will be dancing around with a dress on at my wedding. So I guess it'll be up to you, Mary, if we had a Chilean wedding to, or Cuban wedding,
Cuban,
I should say.
Yeah.
Yes. Up next, we have Australia. Guests are given special stones to hold. An Australian wedding might feature a tradition of a unity bowl. Upon arrival, guests are given stones which they are required to hold during the ceremony. When it's over, the guests then place the stones in a decorative bowl that the couple keeps on display in their home, paying tribute to their friends and family who attended.
I like that. That's a pretty good one. It's a normal one compared to a lot of these.
Yeah, it's basically collecting like a gift at the wedding and holding on to it.
And then this is the last one, but in Fiji, the proposal involves a whale tooth. In Fiji, the groom and his family will often present the bride's father with a sperm whale's tooth when he asks permission. Though this practice is more common in rural areas, it's practiced all over Fiji. The tooth, known as the tabua, translates to sacred. So, interesting. Didn't know any of these, actually. None at all.
No. Did you? I knew of the bride being kidnapped one. But I think like there are some traditions where brides actually get kidnapped. This just like, I was probably reading about it like in a non like good thing, like just probably some bad news story where someone got kidnapped.
That's scary.
Yeah.
At least in this one, it's just for fun.
Yes. Did you have a favorite of them all?
I mean, the one in Australia where you hold a stone and then you put the stone into a jar and then they display it in their house. That seems like the most normal one that you can actually see yourself doing. I can't see us doing any of the rest of them. And also, what is with like the obsession with the groom's feet?
I don't know. But that definitely was not my favorite. I kind of liked the let's see, what was it? It was the Venezuelan one where the bride and the groom secretly leave the wedding. That kind of is just funny. And then also I liked the bride one where she charges you to dance with her. it's like you want to dance, that'll be $5, please.
Yeah, interesting.
So yeah, interesting cultural differences are amongst the world.
Yeah. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next time we talk to you, it'll be March. It'll be almost March Madness. March Madness is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.